Why would reality change when you use different words? First off, reality always changes. But from our perspective, this is the correct question to ask. Why does reality seem to change when you use different words? There is reality, that is, at best, a collective hunch. Even what we do seem to see from reality is just isolated fragments, and we don't see their connection to the whole. So reality is an unknown, unknowable entity as of now. So what we call reality isn't really reality. In fact, depending on the person, it can be as unreality as 100%. The reality we live in is called perceptual reality. It occurs to be true, it occurs to be reality, but there is a fly in the ointment. There is a glitch that hardly anyone talks about. We cannot perceive what we cannot name. What we don't have words for. So we diligently interpret everything we seem to see, seem to hear, experience, and in the moment we interpret it, it stops being perceptual reality. And begins being a meaning. So our perceptual reality really isn't perceptual, so we made up a name for it, occurrence. And depending on how effective you are in life, it can be 30% to 100% made up. This is where your astuteness shines. Astute means, accurate in naming. Accurate in interpreting. And humanity's accuracy in naming has arrived to an all-time low. Back 2,000 years ago it was 10%. Admittedly less things needed to be named, interpreted, find meaning for, so the accuracy came more from there than humans being smarter. They weren't. But they weren't less smart either. Humanity remained intellectually the same, albeit it seems to me it is getting dumber. But maybe it is only due to being overloaded. Anyway, what is the source of the seeming change when you change the words? All words are interpretations. Even words that you use to invent, or words you use as affirmations, they are all interpretations, and the accuracy of the words, the accuracy of you matching the words to feelings, behaviors, is crucial. This is where the most mischief happens when you want to declare something you want. But you have only a vague concept of what you are talking about. Unfortunately. This is where the famous sayings from the S training, or the forum are most valid, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. For you everything is the same as everything else. Because unless you know exactly what you are talking about, and it is exactly what you mean, your affirmation, or your invented anything will be ineffective to change what you see, to change anything. Here is an example of accurate and inaccurate language, what you really mean looks. I invented for myself to be stupid. After I'd observed a number of very successful, very rich businessmen, who were actually quite stupid in my view. Stupid as in not witty, not knowing much, not cultured, not educated, not using big words. I had no idea about their intellectual ability, how could I? But to me, an educated white chick, they seemed stupid. So the stupid I invented is someone who doesn't have to look smart to become successful. Someone who can make a mistake, and not be devastated. My previous identity was brilliant and I was not successful. I dazzled people or I bored people. People didn't want to hang out with me, because being with me was like being at a university lecture. Not fun. But stupid didn't stop me from being overwhelmingly intellectual, it only excused me from being mortified when I made a mistake, or even being afraid to make a mistake. But my conversations were still a lot like a university lecture. So I continued to have no friends. So next I invented being a bumbling idiot. And idiot savant, more precisely. And I have been that for about a decade now. It allows for fun. Having fun and being fun. It works for me. Not perfectly, but almost. I've watched a Netflix series about an autistic lawyer who was an idiot savant. I have more fun than she does. Interestingly, I found her idiosyncrasies just mildly irritating, and occasionally endearing. I learned to be less irritating through that series, myself. So if you look, I refine what the word I say means. And attempt to match my behavior to the newer meaning. Let's see another example. This student invented herself as ordinary. She brings it to bear only occasionally and only for public consumption. But in her privacy, in the privacy of her own head, she despises ordinary, and she despises doing anything ordinary people do. Because for herself she remains special. So she used the word ordinary to further dupe other people, but her view of herself, her view of who she is, what she needs to do in life never changed. And a third example. This student had lived entirely in the right/wrong paradigm. And because she was always wrong, and she wanted to be always right, she compensated for everything by seeing the wrong in everyone. So she used that to make herself feel better. As if being wrong meant you have to feel bad. And who on earth wants to feel bad? Not her, not me, not you. In a session, we invented for her a new identity, failure. Her interpretation of being a failure is suddenly working like a charm for her. She has no resistance to doing what there is to do. She has no resistance to people talking too much, or doing whatever she previously would insist was wrong. And she suddenly doesn't have the urge to keep her attention, like a good watchman, on what other people do wrong. She spends more of her time attending to things that are hers to do. Soon she will need to make up a new word, because like a blanket, this one will prove to be short soon. Just my feeling. And a fourth example. This student invented herself as a possibility of excellence. For a week or two it worked famously, she could grow. But then it became like a heavy chain to drag. And all she could see was how she wasn't enough, how she wasn't excellent. And she went back to her previous self-image. The world doesn't want to give her what she wants. She forgot that the words she invented were the possibility of excellence, not being excellent. Huh? The possibility in this phrase means the horizon, the sky, unattainable as a goal but can be a context. A context of how to approach things. Not to be satisfied with good enough but to go beyond where her brilliance is needed. She has brilliance, and even though the work can be tedious, her brilliance can make it interesting and enjoyable. But she forgot. So it didn't quite work. When you manage to say and mean words, certain words, they can, long term, alter your perceptual reality, your occurring reality. Because words can be contexts if they were meant to be contexts. It's a high-level skill to invent context. And although I have been teaching it for many years, few have shown much talent, much aptitude in it. The job of a context is to change the occurring reality. The occurrence. In the olden days when I still answered the phone, I had the default attitude that a ringing phone was an intrusion. An interruption. Unwanted. But because I still answered the phone because it rang, i.e. I wasn't cause, it was the ringing that was cause, I invented a context that was designed to alter my occurring reality when the phone rang. I said, out loud, money call. And smiled and that smile carried over to the phone call. When I need to do something in my business that is like a $6 an hour job, I say another context, it is all in a day's work. That same context works for everything almost 24/7. Everything that would be annoying, irritating, driving me crazy inside a context I am blah 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 hi, the teacher, smart, educated, blah blah blah. It loses its annoying, irritating, driving me crazy energy inside it's all in a day's work. Inside that context I have room for my own and other people's attitude, actions, speaking. At the worst I have a little tightening of my stomach, but not much. I used to be the firing queen, intolerant. Intolerant to my own and other people's failings. I am still intolerant, but you wouldn't often know. Because the context it's all in a day's work allows all things I would be intolerant about to be. I don't even feel I am tolerating anything. Feeling you are tolerating still means that you said in your heart, it's wrong. So you see, reality changed, seemingly, and irritating things stopped being irritating. Because the background, the context made them seem not irritating. This is a very useful skill. Another story. The other day I had a request for some muscle testing. The dude looked irritating. Moreover, he was from Canada. So I refunded his money and sent an email saying, you'll probably ask for a refund, so I am proactive, I am sending you your money back. But totally unexpectedly he placed the same order again. WTF? I said, and looked for a context that would allow me to serve the dude, even though I found his picture irritating. I said, huh, he really wants to know. And that filled me with a mother's warmth for her children. I muscle tested his stuff, without any resistance, and sent him his reports. He then placed an order for a private consulting session. He really wants to know. We got on a webinar. He paid for 30 minutes, but I stayed on the call with him an hour longer because, drumroll please, I enjoyed the call so much. Without being able to create a new context I would have lost out. So that is how it works, that is how words alter reality. The perceptual, occurring reality. Words naturally alter it, because the occurring reality is made up of what you perceive plus words. Words are about 50% responsible for what you experience. So altering them will alter your experience. For better or for worse. Ultimately, the more effective you become with your words, the more in control you become with your world. Effective means, here, that the words don't come from memory. They come from being created in the moment. And this is when intention will make the most difference. Intention allows you to forego the mind, and go directly to creation. People who say from memory whatever they hope would change their perceptual reality, words to empower them, they miss the mark. Memory words, words said from memory won't do that. Only words said as a creation in the moment. And, of course, for people who can't activate their intention, everything empowering becomes just words fast. Sometimes as fast as in 20 minutes. Other times a little longer. This is what Landmark calls the shelf life of possibility. And that shelf life is short, unless a person can turn on their intention. Intention turns on with a switch. The switch is in the spine. And is part of the three spinal switches, the will, responsibility / causing, and the intention. It is also called a wave, starting from the sacrum all the way to the top of your spine. I taught the wave back in 2012, and I am teaching it again. First in this morning's workshop. The workshop is at 10 a.m. EST, so you'll probably miss it. We'll also learn today to turn on the fourth switch that connects you to Source. Effectively turned on, these four switches transport you to the non-competitive, the creative plane. We also call the vertical plane, or the promised land. I explained the difference in my podcast with Bonnie yesterday. The competitive plane is where you consider yourself an object in the world of objects. The creative plane where you are a person in a world of persons. On the creative plane, the moment you consider yourself or another an object, you fall back onto the competitive plane. The fallen angel effect. No explanation can take you to the vertical plane, so I won't waste my breath on detail, and to explain. Only the switches can take you there. There is just one obstacle. Can you see yourself living in a world of persons? Can you see yourself living like a person? Or will you try to drag your opinion of yourself, your forceful trying to be different than you are? If and when you do that, you become a fallen angel. Because trying to be different than you are belongs to the competitive plane. A week from today we'll work on that part, you trying to be different. We'll endeavor to create a context inside which how you are, who you are won't need to be changed. Where it is okay to be even worthless. I have been living on the vertical plane, and yet I am still worthless. It is actually wonderful. I don't have to change anything. I don't need to change anything. Hell, I don't even want to change anything. And I certainly don't think I should. Worthless is good. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Does that mean I have nothing to give? No. Does it mean I have no worth? Yeah, that is what it means. But I can give, I can produce value. And that is good enough for me. I used to have this demand, love me for me. And was bummed because people loved me for what they got from me. Fun, good times, knowledge, training, wisdom, whatever they got. But on the vertical plane it is freeing that people love me for what they get. And I am free to be. Free to be myself. Free to be a bumbling idiot. Or whatever I am. Today I am okay that people can't even fathom the value I am giving. Today I am okay with them getting what they are getting. A minuscule percentage of what I give. I feel good about myself. The energy flows through me and warms me up. Heavenly. If you are ready for the wave, you can still sign up. If you want to go directly to the workshop where we work with the words to create room for you to be, create the words that allow you to stop trying to be someone you aren't. Then click the buy button below. That workshop is next Saturday, December 10th at 11 a.m. EST. From inflated self to humbling self. If you are registered in today's workshop, you get a $10 off discount coupon. I'll email you the coupon code later today. If I forget, please remind me. Some of you will not want to release your forceful desire to fix yourself or the environment. I don't recommend that you participate in these workshops. You'll be just wasting your time and money. How do you know if you are one of those people? Measure number 37 will be no and the percentage will be higher than 40%. You will be like Moses. I added this measure about a year ago. December 5, 2021. So if your starting point measurements were measured before that date, you don't have that information. P.S. Kundalini. It is possible that the wave is the same as Kundalini rising in the verbiage gurus. And even if they could, Musseltist says they can, cause the wave with their usual means, even if a chiropractor can cause it by touching your coccyx, the switch is thus turned on turn off after a little while, because they need to be turned on frequently enough to stay on long enough to matter. I instinctively turn them on. But in the beginning I had to do it consciously. Now I keep it on. While I am awake. Next is to keep it on while I am sleeping. If that is even possible.